way. But it's good to be here tonight, and I thank the Lord for the opportunity again to preach and be at our home church, and I'll thank the Lord for being around these missionaries today. We did have a good time down at the park, Dan Nicholas Park, and hopefully tomorrow we'll also have a good time. I don't know which way we're going yet, but looking forward to another good day. I hope everyone got one of these yesterday, the Faith Promise cards. We give those out. The white ones are for the adults. The yellow ones are for anyone 17 years old and younger. If you don't know how to fill that out, you've got on the left side, if you're looking at it, the left side is where you fill that out, put the amount the Lord lays on your heart. You keep that, and then you tear this other side off, put the amount on there. You don't have to put your name on it or anything like that, but tear that off, lay that in the offering plate. I believe Shane said if you want to do it now, that's fine when we take up the offering, but Sunday will be the big day, this coming Sunday morning, and so do pray about that as you consider that and as you seek the Lord in the matter of faith promise giving. And I'm thankful for Faith Promise Giving. Many of you guys have been around it maybe all your life, but me and my wife, we only found out about it about 5 years ago when we first came to this church. And so it's been a blessing in our family and in our home, and I think it's one of the best ways there is to support missions and missionaries. And so I hope you're involved in that. And if you're not, I pray that you do get involved in that and get involved in the mission work here at our church. As he said, there's a need there in Germany, Bolivia, Spain, and other countries as well. And so do be in prayer about that. And again, it is good to be with you tonight. Tonight, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews tonight. Hebrews chapter number 11 this evening. Hebrews chapter number 11. And again, it's so good to be here tonight. And do continue to pray for me as we seek the Lord's will for the remainder of the week. We're looking forward to what the Lord's going to do and excited about that and all that God has given us. Hebrews chapter number 11 tonight. Hebrews chapter number 11. We're going to be reading in verse number 17 this evening. The Bible says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, for the evening. Thank you, Lord, for the missionaries that have come this way. Father, thank you, Lord, for the traveling mercies today. Lord, thank you for the congregation that is gathered tonight for one more night of missions conference. Father, I do pray tonight that you would meet with us in a great way. Father, I pray, God, tonight, Lord, that our hearts would be burdened and we would see the need for worldwide missions and evangelism. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd please empty me of myself. Lord, I pray you'd remove any fear, any nerves tonight. Lord, remove the thoughts of my mind, Lord, and forgive sin. Lord, that you might use me for thy glory. Father, help me tonight as I preach. Give me clarity of speech and mind, Father, and I pray you'd give me good pace. Lord, I pray tonight for my audience, Lord. May they listen with open ears and open hearts and be receptive to thy word. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we know, Hebrews chapter number 11 is the hall of faith, or the great chapter on the heroes of faith. And as I begin to think about this matter of faith and begin to think about this matter of a missions conference, this is a faith promise missions conference. We are giving to missions by faith. And I begin to look in Hebrews chapter number 11, and I begin to look down in verse number 1. And in verse number 1 of Hebrews chapter number 11, you find the biblical definition of faith. The Bible says here, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." I begin to look at this verse, and I looked at the term substance. The term substance, you say, what does that word substance mean? Well, that word substance simply means something real. It means something solid, something that is not empty. Ladies and gentlemen, we walk by faith and not by sight. We operate in the realm of faith, and our faith is what we are hoping for. It's by faith that we are trusting that we have been born again and we've been saved. It's by faith that our hope lies that one day when we leave this world, we'll go to heaven. It's by faith in which we live our daily lives, trusting God to provide our needs. It is by faith that we give to missions that God will provide the funds and the ability to support missionaries to go around the world. It is by faith in which we operate in our ministries and what God has called us and given us to do. I think about our faith rest in the facts of the Bible. What does faith come by? Hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The more we study the Word of God, the more we get the Word of God in our hearts and our lives, the greater our faith will become. And I'm thankful tonight that everything we do in life, we can find in the Word of God and find a basis for it through the Word of God, that it might increase our faith. And so our faith, number one, is a substance. It is something that is real, something that is solid, something that we are hoping in. And so tonight and this week, as we consider faith promise, we are considering this matter of substance, of something that is real, giving to something that's going to make a real difference in this world. Notice tonight not only this matter of substance, but notice secondly the term evidence. Evidence, it means that which enables the mind to see truth. It means proof. It means to prove or to show in a manner that the mind can apprehend. Our faith is proven by fact. By fact. We see truth. God provides evidence that He is real. I think about one of the greatest evidences of the fact that there is God, is a God, is creation itself. If you consider creation itself and all that creation is, there cannot be but one conclusion that there is a God and He does exist. I think about the human body and all the abilities that we possess within our human body, the ability to think, the ability to grow, the ability to heal. All of those things point to the fact that there is a Creator and He loves us. You think about the matter of salvation and the evidence in a life of a new believer. Someone who gets born again, their life will be absolutely changed. They will not be the same. You think about the evidence in a man's life when God calls him, wherever He calls him to go. That man one time will say, "No, I'm not going to Germany." And then later on he said, "I'm going to Germany." What is that? That's the evidence of God working in that individual's life. So faith is about substance and faith is about evidence. So we are giving to missions by faith. By faith, trusting that God will perform what He has asked us, knowing that the reality is He will do it. Whatever that figure is that we decide or the Lord lays on our heart to write on this card, however small or however great it may be, we can trust in the fact that God will perform that figure. God will make a way and God will provide. Then I think about this matter of seeing. Our faith promise giving is seeing the evidence, knowing that God has done it, that God has the ability to do it. It may be that we wonder, "Lord, how are we going to meet that figure? I'm on a fixed income or I live within a budget. Lord, hours at work are shorter than what they used to be and You want me to give this amount." But understand this, whatever God lays upon your heart, understand that God will provide a way if we by faith trust Him to meet that need. I'm thankful tonight that we can gather and look tonight as an example, at an example of faith promise giving. I'm glad that God gives us examples to follow after, showing that there's somebody been there before. They've been there, they've done that, and they've got a t-shirt. And they're able to say that God has done a great work in my life. Tonight, we're going to look at the life of Abraham. The life of Abraham, and if I was to title the message, I would guess I would call it Isaac, Abraham's Faith Promise Giving. Isaac, Abraham's Faith Promise Giving. Notice tonight in our text in Hebrews chapter number 11, Abraham, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 17, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac." And now you think about this matter, God basically put Abraham to the test. God had made a promise to Abraham that through Abraham would come a seed, that he would produce a great nation, that Abraham was going to have a son born. And Abraham tried to say, "Well, it's through Ishmael." And God said, "No, it's going to come through Sarah. The promised seed is going to come through Sarah." And Isaac was the son of his old age. You think about the story of Abraham and Isaac. Isaac was an impossibility. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. There's no way physically, humanly possible that there should have been able to be a child in that relationship. Yet, through a miracle, God produced a child. God put Abraham to a test and said, "Abraham, in your old age, are you going to trust me? Are you going to believe me that I'm going to keep my promise that I have given to you?"
I think about us, we need to realize tonight that God, through faith promise giving, may put us to the test. He may say, are you going to trust me in this area of finances? Are you going to trust me in this area of giving to the work of the Lord? In Genesis chapter number 22, God asked Abraham to offer up Isaac and give up his only son. Now, I could not imagine such a request. I think about my life. I have one son, and I'm very thankful for that son. But I could not imagine the Lord coming to me and say, Thomas, I want you to offer up Garrison. There would be some dialogue that would go back and forth and some things that would go down to be assured that that's what the Lord would have me to do. But I think about Abraham. In his old age, there was no possibility for another son. And yet God said, Abraham, I want your son, Isaac. And so tonight, there are four things that we can learn about faith promise giving through this great story of Abraham and Isaac. Let me say tonight, one of the first things that we can learn is the promise of God. The promise of God. Notice in our text tonight in verse 17, the Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Notice, he had received the promise. He had received the promise. God had promised Abraham a son in his old age. He had promised to make him a great nation. And Abraham would have to offer up his son by faith. In Genesis 17 and verse 19, the Bible says, and God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. There we have the promise that God was going to give him a son. Not only was he going to give him a son, but that covenant was going to be established for an everlasting covenant. Of course, that everlasting covenant we know was through the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fact that the Messiah would come through that line, and that one day Christ will reign on the throne in Jerusalem. The everlasting covenant. Abraham was able to offer up Isaac because God had provided him with Isaac. He knew that it was a gift from God, and God had made a way for him to have this sacrifice. You look at the term received there, and that word means accepted. It means embraced or believed. As we consider what God would have us to give or what God would have us to do, we need to realize that it is God who is making the promise. We are just being obedient in that promise. The Lord lays upon our heart a certain figure, and we say, Lord, how in the world are we going to achieve that number? How in the Lord are we going to make that amount of money to be able to fulfill that promise? Understand, we're just committing to the promise. God said, I'm going to provide you with the promise. God said, I'm going to make a way for you to have that fund so that you're able to give through those missions, give to those missions. And all we become, basically, are conduits and channels that we might funnel that money into what God would have us to give. I think about there are times when you wonder, how are you going to meet the bills, and God provides that. You wonder, there are times when there are certain situations arise and you wonder, Lord, I've got a financial need, how are you going to meet that? Why can't we take that same faith that we operate in meeting the bills or taking care of the groceries or taking care of that financial need and say, God, you can also meet this need of faith, promise, giving, whatever the number may be. We need to consider tonight that God is the one making the promise. He is promising to provide the amount He puts upon our hearts. Now consider this tonight. First of all, the impossibility of Isaac. As we've already stated, Isaac was born to Abraham in his old age, 100 years old, and then Sarah being 90 years old. That was an impossible situation. You know, if we look at our finances and examine our finances and examine what God has given us in our lives, we may say, God, that's an impossible amount. God, there's no way that we'll be able to weekly or monthly meet that number. But we need to realize that God operates where? In the impossible. It's by faith that we trust the Lord to take care of that amount of money. You think about this, not only the impossibility of Isaac, but consider the fact of the sacrifice required of Abraham. Abraham had to offer him up. Abraham had to give him up. And I think about in our lives, especially in the United States of America, one of the greatest things that we fail at is this matter of sacrificial giving. Going without something in order to give to the Lord. Now, I understand there are needs and there are things that we have in life, but sometimes we may need to consider, hey, Lord, maybe there's something in my life that I need to give up, that I don't need to have, that it's not a necessity in my life, so that I might be able to help the missions giving. I might be able to help the missionary. I might be able to help my church. So many times we get caught up in the matter of having things when they may be not necessary. And maybe we need to say, Lord, through this promise that you've given me, I'm willing to sacrifice something that I might be a better giver to the Lord and to the things that God has given me. I think about the need there. Then I see, secondly tonight, not only the matter of the promise of God, but I see the obedient servant. The obedient servant. Verse number 17, it says, by faith, when he was tried, or by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1, Abraham answered, here I am. In verse 3, the Bible says, Abraham rose up twice to do what God had put upon his heart. Verse number 16, he said, Abraham did not withhold or withheld Isaac from the Lord. Verse number 18 in Genesis 22, it says, thou hast obeyed my voice. That's what the Lord said to Abraham. Abraham never questioned the Lord. He never said, God, are you sure about this? Lord, do you really understand what you're asking of me? Lord, this is my only son. This is the promise that you've given me. Lord, this is where the seed is going to come from. This is where the everlasting covenant is going to be established. Lord, are you sure about this? You'll never find where Abraham questioned. Abraham was an obedient servant, saying that he was willing to follow the Lord and do what God had laid upon his heart to do, no matter what. Abraham never questioned the Lord. He learned to simply put his faith and his trust in the Lord. Now, I think about us tonight. There are not many new Christians in here that I know of, but most of us have been Christians for a little while anyway. And I think about our situation and what God has done in our lives. Why don't we get to that place where God, when God puts something in our heart, we say, yes, I'll be willing, obedient to do that. Oftentimes we question the Lord and say, Lord, is this really what you want? I think about the call to missions for me and my wife and the battle that went on back and forth, and how that I should have committed to Rock of Ages 3 years before I ever did. How that I should have filled out that application before I ever did. In fact, I remember sitting in a local pastor's office and he made this statement. He said, what if that inmate is waiting on you to tell him about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? For 3 years, there was inmates waiting on me to tell them about the Lord. Think about these other missionaries, and I don't know all their stories and the call that God put on their life, but I think about, you know, maybe they said, you know, Lord, what about this? And Lord, what about that? And God's saying, there's people in Germany, there's people in Spain, there's people in Bolivia waiting on you to carry the gospel of the Lord Jesus. But moving over into faith promise giving, what is God waiting on us to give so that they might go? What's the figure that God's saying? Listen, God's saying, I want you to give this much so that you can support these missionaries so that they could go. And our finances are the ones that finally get that missionary to that position to where he's on the field. I think about the brother here. He said he's at 20%. You know, he's still got a little time ahead of him. But we could be just one of the building blocks along the way for him to get his support. The other brother, I believe you're close to going to Spain. We might be the final brick in the wall to be able to get him over there to Spain. I'm not sure where you're at, brother, but I think he's close too. And you think about all of that and how that we, if we would be willing to be obedient in the giving that God has put upon our heart and say, Lord, I'm going to obey that. I'm going to give that. I'm going to make it possible for them to carry the gospel. How much quicker would they get to the field? You know, it's so sad tonight that I hear several places that oftentimes it takes missionaries 3, 4, 5, 6 years to get to the field sometimes, to raise support. And you think about all of that. How much work could be done in those 3, 4, 5, 6 years? What if the people of God would be faithful and say, Lord, we're going to be obedient in what you've called us to do. We're going to be obedient in what you've allowed us to give. And we say, you know what? Lord, I'm going to give. And how much sooner would those missionaries get to the field if we would be obedient in our giving? Would be obedient in our giving. I see the obedient servant. I think about Isaac was Abraham's only begotten son. He didn't have a son to spare, but he was willing to give that son. I think about a story my father told me. My father told me one time that the Lord laid on his heart to give some money, and he said, Lord, this is all the money I've got for the rest of the week. He said, Lord, I don't have money to buy my lunch this week. Lord, I don't have money to buy gas this week. Lord, what am I going to do? The offering plate was coming, and my dad was going back and forth with the Lord. finally the offering plate come by, and my dad put the money in the offering plate, and he trusted God that God had laid it on his heart to do it. He didn't know what he was going to do. My dad's walking out of the church, and one of the older men of the church come up and said, "Brother, I just want to tell you I appreciate you." And he shook his hand, and he put something in his hand my dad put in his pocket. My dad pulled it out, and it was a $50 bill. Now, that was back in the 80s when $50 was something, you know. And my dad had more than enough to meet the need for that week. Now, that doesn't happen every time, but you think about how that God will meet needs if we're willing to be obedient in what He has called us to do. Then I see, thirdly tonight, I see not only the obedient servant, but I see the power of God. The power of God. Notice verse number 19, it says, according that God was what? Able. Able. That word able is a good word there. It means a possibility. It means that God can do it. In Genesis 22 and verse 16, it says, "And by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son." Because Abraham obeyed God, the Lord could do great things. The Lord could do great things. Oftentimes, God wants to do great things, but we're not obedient. Oftentimes, we restrict, if you will, the power of God because we fail to obey the Lord. I think about God will give through us. We become the conduit, as we've already said, to funnel those funds along. This goes back to our faith and where our faith is at. You know, every person in this room tonight, our faiths are on different levels. How much we trust the Lord is on different levels. And I think about my own life sometimes. My faith grows weak and I grow weary. And I begin to wonder, Lord, how is this need going to be met? And how is this going to be taken care of? But we need to understand, we need to get back to the fact of the simple question, do we really believe God? God said He would do it. Why can't we trust Him and believe Him that He's able to do that? Can we really trust the Lord? You know, I think about the needs of missionary life. You know, along the way in deputation, you learn that, hey, you've got to trust the Lord. I think about the brother, he's having some vehicle trouble. My wife was telling him about our wonderful adventures and our travel and how on two occasions, you know, the vehicle has trouble, you know. You pull into the parking lot of a rest stop and oil's pouring out from underneath it. And you put five quarts in and five quarts are out in an hour down the road. You got major issues. But the thing about it was the church that I was going to was right beside the mechanic shop that I needed to do the work. Then we get to roll in an Eddie Bauer expedition to our Sunday night meeting, and they put money in your hand, and then you realize you got $562 to give towards the repair, and the repair cost $549. What happened? That was God meeting the need. I think about being in Atlanta, and the battery light comes on, and I was a few minutes, if you know anything about Atlanta, once you get north Atlanta, you're in pretty much no man's land for a little while. And I think about how the battery light come on and we roll into the Pep Boys. We want $600. I said, well, you're keeping it, you know. And I was able to go in the buy a $10 ratchet set and borrow some tools. And we were able to change an alternator, me and my wife both, in the pouring down rain in Atlanta, Georgia. But the church before that had provided travel expense, the money to buy the alternator and all of that. God put all that together. And then I got food poisoning on the way. That was a nightmare. But anyway, you think about all of that. And how that's how God works. If we learn to trust Him. Deputation, we learn to trust the Lord. As believers, how do we learn to trust the Lord? Through our giving to the Lord. For saying, Lord, you give what you want us to, we're going to give what you want us to give. We're going to be obedient to what God has wanted us to do. And then I say, lastly tonight, not only the power of God, but I see the proof of the promise. The proof of the promise. That in Isaac, thy seed be called. Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 5, there's an interesting couple of men standing around. It says, and Abraham said unto his young men, apparently he brought some servants with him, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He said, hey, we're going to come back, and we're both of us are going to be here. Now you think about this, those servants looked and they had wood for a fire. They had fire, they had a knife, but they didn't have a sacrifice. Then all of a sudden at the end of the story in Genesis 22:19, it says, so Abraham returned unto the young man, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. When they showed up, it was Abraham and Isaac. They left Abraham and Isaac, they come back Abraham and Isaac. What was this? It was a proof that God had met the need. The young men knew the work that had to be done. They knew that there was going to be a sacrifice. No doubt they had seen Abraham do this before, and they realized something was missing. They wondered what was going on, no doubt, in their minds. But Abraham and Isaac come back. You see, being obedient and giving our Lord allows God to prove Himself not only to us, but to others around us. I think about tonight as we give to God, and God fulfills His promise not just to give, but also to be goers. Our faith is seen by others around us. Not only will the need of our faith promise be met, but blessings shall come from our faith promise giving. Now understand this tonight. This is not a prosperity gospel. But I will say this tonight. As we give to faith promise and as we're willing to give to missions and the work of missions, it's amazing how God will give back to us. Whether it be in this life or the life to come, God will bless our lives because we are participating in missions giving. I think about this matter of God's proof. As missionaries, faith promise proves as we receive it that God has called us. Imagine being a missionary and being on deputation for 10 years and you're at 5% support. I think after 5 years I'd begin questioning, Lord, is this what really you've called me to do? But as churches give to missionaries and as churches give to us and as churches give to these folks here and as their support raises and as they go along, it's proof that, hey, God has called you to this specific field. Why? Because God's meeting the need. God's taking care of that. Not only that, but God proves to the missionary through faith promise giving that He can meet our needs once we get to the field. You think about some of these folks, they're a little different from what I do in the prisons and laboring there, but they're going places, some of them, where they're going to be isolated. There's not a local Baptist church to go to and get a love offering from on Sunday night. There's not a local Baptist church to call and say, can you help us out of the benevolence fund? There's not a local church to call and say, hey, we've got van issues or we got this issue or we got that issue. Can you help us? No, they're going to far off places. And through faith, promise given, and through raising support, God proves Himself and say, listen, I can meet your need. I can take care of you. Whether it be an air-conditioned situation, whether it be a rear main seal on the back of an engine, whether it be an alternator, whatever other situation it may be, through the giving of others, it proves that God can meet the needs. Not only that, but God proves to the lost that He is with us. You think about people seeing us as we go, and I'll be honest with you, you try to explain missions to even saved folks, some of them look at you like you're outside of your mind. But then you go and try to explain missions to lost people, you know? You go out, I think about, it happens all the time. You go up to somebody, what do you do for a living? I'm a missionary. I go to prison. Okay, you know, that's good, you know? And they don't understand all of that. You know, they don't understand that. You're doing what? You're going where? What's that all about, you know? And that opens a door of opportunity to give a testimony about how God saved you and how God called you and how God put you in the Word. I think about these other folks. I don't know about their families and where they are, but in our family, even my wife's family, they don't understand it. They're lost. They have no concept of it, and it doesn't make sense to them. Maybe these guys and some of these missionaries, they have family like that, and they're thinking, you're going where to do what with your family, huh? That don't make no sense. But it's an opportunity to prove God through that. But then I think about as givers, God proves to the giver that He can provide our needs. If God says, hey, I'll meet this need, why can't God meet the needs of the light bill? Why can't God meet the needs of the car payment? Why can't God meet the need of the grocery bill? Why can't God meet whatever need we may arise in our lives? We understand that every one of us has bills and we have situations, we have things arise. And through faith, promise, giving, and God providing those things that we need to give, it'll also prove that He can meet the other needs in our lives, whatever they may be. I think about this church through our faith promise giving. We give to these missionaries and send these missionaries. It proves to us as a church that, hey, I can meet your need, whatever that need may be, whether it be a pastor in our situation right now, whether it be a van, whether it be some other type of outreach, whether it be the day when we get too big for the pews we got and we got to build a building next door, whatever it may be, God says through giving the faith promise, I prove that I can meet your needs. Secondly, it proves that we can trust Him. And then thirdly, He proves Himself yet again to the lost. You know, I think about, there was a gentleman that come in here tonight and he was looking for some food and we were able to help him. We said, what are you doing? What's going on? We're having a missions conference. Now, he probably had no idea what that was all about. But he knew that somebody was going around the world with the gospel. We began to talk a little bit about that. And he began to understand some of those things there, you know. Our faith promise giving proves God proves Himself to the lost. So in closing tonight, I look at Isaac was Abraham's faith promise giving. And as we pray and as we seek the Lord concerning our faith promise, we can look at the example of Abraham and his willingness to give. And by faith, we can, number one, trust God's promise. God say, I want you to give this amount. Hey, God, I can trust that promise. God, it's more than I've ever given. It's more than I've ever considered giving. It's more than I've ever thought about giving. But if that's what you've laid on my heart to put on this little white card or yellow card, whichever one it is, God can meet that promise. Then secondly, we need to, by faith, obey God's command. When God says give it, we ought to give it. You know, I think about it. You know, God's going to get it one way or another. I'd rather He get it through giving to missions than some other way. You know, oftentimes when we withhold our finances from the Lord, things break down, things tear up. We think, why in the world is my finances in such a wreck? It's because we're not obeying the Lord and what He's called us to give. And then as Miss Lisa or whoever's playing the piano tonight comes to the piano, as they come tonight, lastly, we need to, by faith, give so we can see God prove Himself. Think about as parents, we can use this as a tool to say, look, God met this need. God allowed us to give to these missionaries, and God allowed us to work here, and by faith we can do these things. Father, thank You, Lord, for the evening. Thank You for the time that You've given me tonight. Lord, I pray You take the message. May You speak to hearts. Lord, as we examine the life of Abraham and realize that, Lord, You're wanting to prove